Welcome to Cowboy Church with your host, Russ Weaver, and guest host, Candace Myers. So sit back and enjoy some good singing, some great testimony, and some good preaching. Happy 250th birthday, America. Welcome to Cowboy Church.
Hello, I'm Russ Weaver.
And I'm Candace Myers.
We're here today because our nation is having its 250th birthday, and our show today, or our service today, is going to be talking about some of that. Candace, do you realize that 250 years in all of history, and if we have 6,000 according to the Bible, right, that 250 years is a pretty short time?
It's a very short time, Russ. I was thinking about this the other day. I can remember the bicentennial, 1976. Yeah. I was alive.
That was a little before my time, I think.
Right, but not mine. I was here. And I remember thinking as a child how old America was.
Yeah.
How old, how long it had been since George Washington, and how much 200 years was. 50 years beyond that, that doesn't seem like that long. That doesn't seem very long now. And when you think about how old we are in connection to how old our country is, or how young it is, it hasn't been around very long.
It really hasn't. You know,
and we've been around for a lot of it.
Wait.
And I've been around for a lot of it.
And I've been around a lot longer than she is. So yeah, the period of time between now and then, it happens. So when did it start to scroll for you? You know, it seemed like forever till you reached a certain age, and then things went so, and then all of a sudden it seems like you have a birthday every week.
Absolutely.
To me.
Probably when I started having kids.
Yeah.
And you're so busy and you're so caught up in that, you forget how old you even are. So I think probably then, and it feels, but as they get older and as I've gotten older, it just feels like it flies by.
Yeah. I have an aunt who's 93, and she comes to church. She's one of the greeters out. She sits at the information table, and just a sweet girl. And she's pretty spicy too. Well, there was a guy that decided she was pretty sweet, you know. And so when churches start, she'd go to sit down. He'd help her with her chair and stuff. And so he asked her, he says, how old are you? And she goes, you know, you're not supposed to ask the age of a woman.
Absolutely not.
His answer was, it's just a number. And she says, yes, it is. And mine's unlisted at 93.
That's pretty good.
It's pretty quick at 93. It happens pretty fast and it gets there in a hurry. So we're going to celebrate 250 years of America still being a young nation. Candace, do you know how long the longest empire lasted?
I don't.
1,500 years. The old Roman Empire, including two segments of it, together was 1,500 years. And the top five, the last one on the top five, lasted over 800 years. And it was the Ethiopian Empire. I didn't even know anything about the Ethiopian Empire until I started figuring out how things lasted. So us at 250, we're still have the potential of being a baby nation.
Absolutely.
So anyway, we're going to be talking about America and what they had to face when, especially Thomas Jefferson, our third president, was dealing with some of the situations we had to deal with. I think you're going to get some insights into things that will relate to us, what we're dealing with as a nation today.
Interesting.
And it's going to be pretty good stuff.
Some things change and some things don't, right? Mm-hmm. We just keep repeating.
Yes. So we're going to have some music.
Awesome.
Susie is going to be singing, and she's going to have a patriotic melody, you know, that kind of stuff.
Absolutely.
And you just sit back and relax, and we're going to be having a great time with y'all. It's good to have you with us, Candace.
Appreciate you. Welcome to Cowboy Church.
For spacious skies, for amber waves of grain, for purple mountains. majesties up above the fruited plains. America, America, God shed his grace on thee and crowned thy God with his brotherhood from sea to shine.
Francis Smith was in his last year of seminary at Andover, and he was very poor. To make ends meet, he accepted literary work, and that's how it came about that musician Lowell Mason asked him to translate some German verses for a songbook he was preparing. Among the tunes he handed Smith was a German patriotic hymn, God Bless Our Native Land. When Smith read it, he immediately felt that the United States also needed a stirring national anthem. Writing on scraps of paper that February of 1832, he finished within 30 minutes.
My country, 'tis of thee, sweet land of liberty, of thee I sing. That I love, stand beside her and guide her through the night with a light from above, from the mountains to the prairies to the oceans white with.
The year was 1861, the beginning of the Civil War, the war between the states. Julia Howe, her husband Dr. Samuel Howe, their pastor from Boston, and the governor of Massachusetts were witnessing a review of Northern troops under General McClellan near Washington, D.C. There was a sudden movement of the enemy, and the Howe party hurried back to Washington, passing troop after troop, all singing John Brown's Body Lay Smoldering in the Grave, a song about a person who had tried to free a slave and had been hung. When they were out of danger, Dr. Clark, the minister, turned to Mrs. Howe. "Well, that's a stirring melody, Julia, but can't you write better words for it?" She went to bed that night, slept soundly, and woke early in the morning, her mind twirling with words.
Mine eyes have seen the glory of the coming of. Of wrath are stored. He has loosed the fateful lightning of his terrible swift sword. His truth is marching on. Glory, glory, alleluia. Oh, glory, glory, alleluia. Glory.
Spangled Banner was not officially adopted by Congress as our national anthem until 1931, and it was not written in the Revolutionary War, as most people think, but in the War of 1812. While on the deck of a truce ship, Francis Scott Key paced nervously as a fierce battle raged nearby during the British attack on the harbor of Baltimore. As district attorney of Georgetown and a spiritual leader of his church, Key had been sent by President James Madison to negotiate with the British for a physician who had been taken prisoner. All night, Key and his party were detained as the heavy bombardment continued. When the firing suddenly stopped just before morning, Key was fearful of the outcome. But as he looked hesitantly across the water, he saw the most wonderful sight. He saw the American flag still triumphantly flying with the assurance of our nation's freedom. With joyful relief, Key wrote his poem hastily on the back of an envelope and put finishing touches on it after being released later that evening. You ask yourself, what can I do to say thank you to our forefathers for what they fought and died for? Well, you can live for what they fought and died for.
Oh, say can you see by the dawn's early light what so proudly we hailed at the twilight's last gleaming, whose broad stripes and bright stars through the perilous fight, o'er the ramparts we watched, were so gallantly streaming. And the rocket's red glare, the bombs bursting in air, gave proof through the night that our flag was still there. Oh, say does that star-spangled banner yet wave o'er the land of the free and the home of the brave?
Well, today we are going to be celebrating the 250th birthday of the United States of America. And so I would just like to say happy birthday, America. It's a great place to live. We live in Texas, one of the greatest places in America to live. I might just add that just for nonsense sake. But we really live in a wonderful, wonderful nation. I know Israel is God's chosen people, and we've probably bumped that a couple of times, but I feel like the United States of America has been blessed by God beyond belief. And I stand here today with my red, white, and blue and say that I am glad. I feel honored. I feel privileged to be an American. And studying history back to the very early days of America, America ran into some very difficult times. And some of the history that I've been able to look at gives me a reminder of why today is so important. If you look back in 1784 at our young nation, just a few years old, the tune that that our Marines sing from the halls of Montezuma to the shores of Tripoli are very significant, because in 1784, there was some of our ships were taken hostage by what we figured were pirates, but they were a group of extortioners from Tripoli or the Barbary Coast. And you do a little bit of word study, you begin to find out why the word barbarian is barbarian. and savage, and because it came from the Barbary Coast. The Barbary Coast was a set of nations that was Tripoli, Tunis, Morocco, and the Algiers, and they were the pirates that came in during the ship routes. And what they would do, they would attack the ships, they would take hostages, they would make slaves, they would call for ransom money, they extorted nations, and especially Christian nations, because that area was ruled by Muslims. And they thought it was their duty to their God to make sure that everybody that wasn't Muslim was savagely taken care of. It caused a war that happened just a few years later. One of the founding fathers, our third president, Thomas Jefferson, was opposed to the United States giving them any money as hostage money, or it wasn't like tariffs. Tariffs was what nations charged to trade between themselves, but these guys are out in the middle of the oceans and they wouldn't let the ships through, and they would take them, they would charge them fees for the ships to be able to go through. And George Washington, Thomas Jefferson, and Adams were against paying them anything. But the rest of Congress said, no, we need to be paying them. So they paid them their extortion fees. And those extortion fees later on in 1801, just a year after Thomas Jefferson became the third president, they started a war as a Tripolitan War, and it happened because they wanted us to pay $225,000 up front and $25,000 a year for us to be able to bring our ships through these certain areas so that we could trade with the European nations. And Thomas Jefferson said, that's it, we're not putting up with that anymore. And the war broke out. It broke out, lasted 4 years. Now, I know you're tracking with me now that we live in similar days as we did 250 years ago, that the war has been taken by people who hold our nations that hold other nations hostage instead of commerce fees for goods and services. They just go in like pirates and charge everybody. And then if they don't put up with it, they pillage the pirates. And they're backed by the same regime as they were backed by back in 1801 to 1805. So we strengthened our Navy, we strengthened our Marine Corps, and we told them we weren't going to put up with it. And what we did, we set up snipers on our trade vessels. And when the boats from the Barbary Coast, the barbarians, the pirates, and Muslims, and they all worked together, it was a religious war that they were fighting to do away with Christians. So let me back up just a little bit. So Adams and Jefferson went to the Barbary Coast and met with the leadership there and asked them, why are you aggressive against America? And their words were that they are religion based on supremacy, whose holy book not only condemns but mandates violence against unbelievers. And this was unacceptable to Jefferson. It not only condoned, but it mandated violence against unbelievers. And Jefferson said, we're not going to put up with this. So when he became president, that's when he strengthened the Marines and strengthened the Navy, And the term leatherneck came from our Marines who, when the pirates tried to get on our ships, well, what we did is they would put leather around their necks because their swords is what they used. They had a type of sword that they used to hit people in the back of the head or cut their heads off. And the leather that they wore around their necks protected them. And we were able to win the war against them. So what happened then Britain and France and the Europeans, when they saw the pirates approaching, they started hoisting up American flags because they knew that America wouldn't put up with their shenanigans. But then later on, they caught on, and then they had the war. They won the war. And a few years later, in 1812 to 1815, actually backed by Britain this time, they attacked us again. And we went in and gave them the ultimatums and told them that we were not going to put up with it. And we will make sure that this never happens again. And the thing is that the authority is what they began to understand. And when they understood that, so what their religion says, if they attack sinners, who is anybody who's not Muslim, if they attack sinners, then if they died in war, then what would happen is they would be guaranteed a place in heaven. So, Thomas Jefferson, he went back and read the Quran and began to understand how the culture thinks and how they believe. And he went back and he attacked them according to how the best way to attack a religious organization. But he said this. He said his greatest fear is that someday this brand of Islam would return and pose an even greater threat to the United States. Well, today I had to kind of dance around delicately some of the political issues. I don't want to be political on a church program, sure, if I can keep from it. But sometimes we need to understand culturally. You know, we do this cowboy church that's about cowboy culture, right?
Mm-hmm. That's right.
So we approach ministry through cowboy culture. But for this, in order for us to understand, we have to understand what culture we're dealing with. And I mentioned President Trump, and I know that's going to make some people upset, but I really like how the guy is approaching this whole Iran situation, because looking back in history with Thomas Jefferson and him reading the Quran so he could understand them and then dealing with them in a manner, he's dealing with them a lot like President Trump is. And I don't want to badmouth anybody, but at the same time, facts are facts and reality is reality. Mm-hmm. And we want to pray for our president so that he can do the right thing. And man, next week we'll be talking a little more about it. So if you're interested in that sort of thing, we probably won't get as political next week as we will spiritual, but there's some spiritual applications.
Yeah, absolutely. And history is a powerful thing.
It is.
It's good for us to know what it is. It's good for us to understand it. It keeps us from repeating some of the same mistakes in the past. And it also should help guide and give us direction about where it is that we want to and are supposed to go.
Yeah. Tune in next week and we'll have more of this. And you'll be here next week too,
won't
you?
We so appreciate your support and your donations for Cowboy Church. If you'd like to participate, there's a QR code on your screen. If you're not that technological, you can write to us at the address on your screen. But we look forward to seeing you next week at Cowboy Church.